Now, I'm joined by my guest who is live in the studio. It is a writer, Andy Stewart. Now, he started written his books during lockdown. They're all published. And we're going to be talking about his main character and the books as well that you can find online. So it's very good morning to you. It's still morning, isn't it?
It is just still morning. Thank you, Michelle. Morning.
It's lovely to meet you. Now, when did you first meet Sylvia? Was that
at the Brentwood Writers Group?
Oh, right.
Which was a few months ago. What happened after I'd written the books is I actually talked to a fellow writer, and she said one of the ways to get your stuff out there is to do talks.
Yeah.
And from a career, I mean, I've done talks all my life. You know, I worked in the city for many years and spoke at conferences. So, and it's been great, you know, just going out. And I talked to special interest groups like the Western Front Association and evening of Rotary dinners and this type of stuff. And the Brentwood Writers Group was special because you're talking to fellow writers. Yeah. And I met Sylvia there. And what I discovered is, as I write, I've developed these techniques that I use in writing historical fiction, because that's what it is. And I talked about the kind of frameworks and the ways in which I research my stuff. And it was, as I say, the writers group were great.
It's one of those weird things, I think, when you've got books or music, or if you're a creative, that sometimes you think if you go into these groups, somebody's going to pinch my idea. And I think people have that initially, that you don't want to sort of give too much away if you're writing a book, because you keep everything quite close. But it is a thing that once you start sharing, that's when you get all the feedback and you're like, I never thought about that. That's great. And these are what these groups do so well.
Yes. What I find is I think my writing is fairly easy, in the sense that I'm plotting stuff through a frame of history, 1914, 1920 kind of thing. What I really respect in these other writers is that they have ideas about stories that are completely imaginative. Mm. So they're creating these worlds or stories, whether it's a kind of romance or a historical novel, that is just pure imagination. So it's always interesting to discuss other people's ideas.
Now, with your books, there is a theme, and it is set, it's in the military, so it's set, yes, around the military. But you actually have a background, and it's your family background of being in the military as well.
That's correct. My dad was a soldier all his life, all his professional life. So he joined in 1957 as a young soldier in rural North Yorkshire. And he volunteered. Conscription was still on, but he volunteered. And he was a soldier right throughout his life. His final job, came up through the ranks. His final job was the Director of Studies at the Women's Royal Army College in Camberley. And that closed in 1983, I think it was. So that was his last job. And then he did all that, but I also joined the Army after university. I had a short service commission, went through Sandhurst. Mm-hmm. So there has been that history of military. And my granddad, so my dad's father-in-law, he was a lifelong soldier as well.
Now, you started writing during COVID. Mm. Had you not written really anything before that?
Nothing, no.
It's amazing. No. That is amazing. Yeah. Do you think having a discipline, because when you speak to people who've been in the army, the way they stand, the way they walk, the way they introduce themselves, you can sort of say, they've been in the army. You just get a... So, because it is a discipline. So writing is a discipline where you have to go, I'm going to spend X amount of time today to write.
Yeah.
This is why a lot of people fall down, because they can't,
yes,
discipline themselves to, yes, do it. So do you think having the background in the army helped you?
I think discipline is absolutely one of them. And I also think determination, yeah, because it's the determination to finish a project. Sometimes we sit down and we pick up a book and we start reading a book, and, you know, we can't get into the book, but we have the determination to finish reading that book, because somebody's written that book. Could be, you know, back in the 1920s or whenever, but somebody's written that book, and you give it the courtesy of kind of finishing it. So it's a combination of discipline and determination.
Now, the book follows a character called Arthur Wally Walton, which I love that back in the day, back in sort of, those times, everyone had a nickname, didn't,
yes,
they?
Yes.
And also in the army, certain surnames got nicknames.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we won't say all of them, but yeah.
No, no. So I went, one of the, funny enough, one of the, uh, one of the talks I give, I call it Tall Tales or Real History. And my granddad was called Wally Walton. So somebody called, you know, with a name Mac would be called Mac, all sorts of name-derived nicknames. Yeah. But my granddad also had another nickname, which was Kosher. And the story was, he told, they came across a German army officer sitting on his horse, and he was surrendering, but he wouldn't get off his horse. So he slipped his, and this officer was slipping a hand inside his tunic, and my granddad thought he was going for a pistol, and he used a gun cleaning rod to kosh him off his horse. Mm. So he picked up the name Kosher Walton.
Right.
And this was one of the kind of bizarre stories that had stuck in my head forever, yeah. which inspired me to try and collect those stories together in some writing.
Now, you've got three books under your belt at the moment.
Yes.
So give us an idea about, you know, the books in general. We don't want to give too much away because we want people to buy books, which is always preferable than getting them for nothing, as well as music. So
Absolutely.
Tell us about the books.
So I started writing, and I thought what I would do is I'd kind of create a series of tales. So the books, the first two books are called Tales of the Great War One and Tales of the Great War Two. So Great War One is a journey from boy to soldier, and the Tales of the Great War Two, which takes it from 1916 through to 1919, is called Is This Forever? Because the soldiers by the middle of the war were thinking, this is forever. We are going to either die, get severely maimed and go back to Britain, or this will be our life forever. And what they are is they're a kind of, each chapter is its own little story. So it's a series of tales that cover the whole span of the war. And a couple of people who have read the books have said to me afterwards, the problem with World War One for them is that it's all kind of trenches and mud, blood and barbed wire. And my books aren't that. My books are the stories of men trying to get through. Humour, scams, conning the Americans, all sorts of little stories. Bravery, relationships, some prejudice, you know, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So they're really a collection of stories that string the war together. And what I also do is put a kind of an overlay of the history that's going on around the time as well. So, for example, in 1915, we didn't have enough shells, and there was a huge political controversy around why we didn't have enough shells. So that's woven into the stories. Mm. So it takes us right through the war and strings it together for people. They're the first two books.
What's the third book?
The third book is called Churchill's Intervention. And it's about Churchill sending British soldiers to Russia in 1918-1919. This is a period of history that has been forgotten about. We had men fighting in northern Russia well into 1919 when the war had finished in Europe. And they were there for a number of reasons, but Churchill's kind of key thing was he wanted to destabilize the Russian Revolution. He had a real hatred of Bolshevism and socialism, and he wanted to undermine the Russian Revolution. There were some other tactical reasons. We had supplies up there that he thought he wanted to protect. And my granddad was one of the men who volunteered to go. So there was one tranche that had to go in 1918, and there was another group who volunteered to go in 1919. And my granddad was part of that second group. So it's a novel of how him and his mates go into Russia and get themselves right across Russia. They're taken prisoner by Bolsheviks and they meet Cossacks, and there's a bit of romance in there as well, because they meet an English governess who really kind of gets them out, and so it builds a story right the way through.
Yeah, and when you look back, I mean, in fact, funny you should be talking about the First World War, there is actually footage of which I saw yesterday, and I don't know, it came up on a timeline of mine, but it was because I was watching it, and the guy obviously had PTSD, and they were saying that because now it's recognised when, you know, you went to war and the terrible, terrible conditions that the soldiers were in, in the First World War, absolutely awful, had to go over the top even if you didn't want to, and you were, you know, killed, it's just, you know, over and over and over again, sending people over the top, and the, you know, the military higher up never went over the top. It was all these young lads. And when you're talking about sort of 17, people would lie to get into the army. And then you had all these, you know, as you could see, there's shots of very young guys that have got PTSD. There was no help. There was nothing. If you lost a limb when you came back, there was no help.
Yes,
you know,
that's
it was
right.
Terrible.
Yeah, my granddad was 16 when he enlisted in August 1914. He was very young. You know, and there were many. I mean, I think the youngest that they have worked out who enlisted was 13. It's extraordinary. Yeah. But I mean, you know, war is a terrible, terrible thing. And as you say, you see the films of the poor guys who came back with PTSD, and we didn't understand it, and we couldn't deal with it, and there was no treatment, you know, for them, and there were terrible stories, terrible stories.
If you want to find out more, the books are they physical books or are they online?
Physical books.
Look at that. We love a physical book.
We do love a physical book. Yeah, so that's the Churchill's intervention book. So they're physical books. They are available on Amazon. And there are Kindle versions of them as well, so people can download the Kindle. But I prefer a physical book too.
Yeah, me too.
They're all available online.
Brilliant. Yes. And where? So you can find if you've got a website as well.
I have got a website. Yep. It is Andy Stewart at andystewart.net, and my surname is spelled Stuart. There's some stuff about me, some stuff about my granddad, and some background around the books and the talks I give as well.